Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY 2022 results conference call of Berger Paints India Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashit Desai of Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Janice. Good evening, everyone. We have with us the management of Berger Paints today. It's a pleasure to host them for their Q1 FY 2022 earnings call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Srijit Dasgupta, Director of Finance and CFO, and Mr. Sujyoti Mukherjee, Vice President, Finance and Accounts. I'll now hand over the call to Srijit for his opening remarks, post which we'll begin with the Q&A. Over to you, Srijit.
Thank you, Ashit. A very good afternoon to all of you. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to our Q1 FY 2022 earnings call. As usual, I'll start with a few opening comments about the standalone and consolidated quarterly performance, after which I'll invite you to ask your questions. Starting with the standalone numbers for the quarter, I know it's a little bit of a misleading kind of statistic because of the performance last year, such a low base. For the normal sort of trend, I'd like to still call out the quarterly growth numbers. Total income from operations for the standalone operations was 96%. PBDIT, including other income, was 96.4%. PBT was 169.2%, and PAT was 171.3%. Some comments on the standalone operations for the quarter. It was a bit of an up and down rollercoaster story, as can be imagined, with the second wave of the pandemic taking hold in many states from the end of March and affecting economic activity in the country from last week of April onwards for most places. Some states saw a delayed effect, with cases multiplying and lockdowns being extended in a somewhat delayed manner. June was relatively better compared to May. May was very badly affected, partly also because of the pent-up demand due to the lockdowns in May kind of unfolded in June. That was why June was a little better, and also the lockdown effect was much less. It may be more sensible, therefore, to look at the quarterly growth numbers over the past 2 years, as obviously last year was an extremely unusual year. We are looking at somewhere between 2.5%-3% growth net-net over the last 2 years, even with the substantial dip last year. Lockdown-imposed restrictions on business activity excepted, we do therefore see some stability in terms of demand trends. I think this is a reason for some optimism. The gross margins, however, have been affected quite significantly in Q1 FY 2022. You may recall that I spoke about the very sharp increases in raw materials in the Q4 FY 2021 earnings call, and the need to take price increases. The process of taking price increases is underway, and some increases have been taken in May and June. However, more increases are needed, particularly in the industrial business lines, to restore parity in terms of the gross margins. You may recall that the gross margins have to be read with the impact of our supply-apply contracts in the last quarter of Q4. I just like to recall my comments in the or revisit my comments in the last quarter. Obviously, there was an impact of the supply-apply contracts in the RMC to sales ratio in Q4. The impact of that is much lower, so we did less business in Q1 of FY 2022 in terms of supply-apply contracts, and therefore, the full effect of that margin expansion, if you like, at the gross margin level, didn't happen in Q1 of FY 2022. Overall, of course, in the net operating profit level, it doesn't really matter because what we save in terms of raw material costs, we have to probably spend a little more in terms of overheads, and that happened for us in Q4 FY 2022, and I'm talking of supply-apply contracts. The process of taking price increases is on. We've taken price increases in May and June, and as well as two taken in July and more to follow in August. These are, of course, price increases for the decorative business. As I mentioned, we will need to catch up a little bit in terms of price increases for our industrial businesses. Typically, there's a lag, and we'll talk about it a little later for price increases in industrial business. The main takeaway, obviously, is the raw material inflation situation. As we have mentioned in earlier earnings calls, this has also encouraged us to continue our raw material vendor development and formulation efficiency improvement activities. We spoke about it a little last time we met, and these are expected to continue to yield reasonable dividends going forward. Obviously, not all of it happened in Q1, meaning all the efforts didn't translate themselves into the P&L in Q1, but going forward, we should see a slightly greater impact. In terms of sales, on the decorative sales front, we saw a stronger bounce back in the Tier 1 cities as compared to the Tier 2 and Tier 3 towns, mainly because of the faster spread of COVID this time in the smaller towns in the second wave. The project business continued into the first quarter, though the associated gross margin improvement, and this was much lower because the business was much lower in Q1 as compared to the trailing quarter. The margin improvement was, of course, partially offset by the substantial recovery in the industrial businesses, particularly in the general industrial and automotive business lines, which have typically lower gross margins than the decorative businesses or the supply-apply business. This effort of taking price increases typically lags behind that of deco business. So going forward, we need probably more increases compared to deco on the industrial business line front. Coming to the consolidated numbers for the quarter, total income from operations grew by 93.2%. PBDIT, this includes other income, went up by 155.9%. PBT, after share of profit and loss of JV, went up by 482.4%, and PAT went up by a fairly large number, this is 832.1%. Now, some comments regarding the consolidated results. Berger Jensen & Nicholson Nepal grew significantly both in top line and profitability. Again, the comparisons are a little confusing because last year was so low. They were more impacted by the pandemic in this particular quarter in the last fiscal as compared to India. So the recovery, of course, therefore, is more significant and the impact higher. Bolix Poland, that's our Polish subsidiary, had a modest top line growth, mainly because of an extended winter. I'll just confirm and recall the fact that the consolidated results in Q1 FY 2022 of BPIL, that's Berger, incorporates the results for Bolix's Q1 results, which are they follow the calendar year, so it's January to March of 2021. They suffered from an extended winter. This is a low lean period in any case, and therefore sales don't impact the overall consolidated numbers to that extent as compared to other quarters. But the profitability improves significantly on account of price increases taken and improved sales in the UK and France geographies with better contributions. Both subcoatings and STP grew top line and profitability quite impressively. Subcoatings, of course, has been renamed SBSCPL. That's the company we are mentioning. The performance of the JVs also improved significantly in this quarter. That's the JV with Nippon Paints as well as the one with Becker. PAT growth jumped sharply upwards because some of the subsidiaries had suffered losses in Q1 of FY21, accounting for a higher effective tax rate in the consolidated results in the same quarter in the last fiscal. These subsidiaries recovered sharply and the effective tax rate therefore dropped in this year, meaning Q1 of FY22. So that concludes my opening comments. I would now like to invite questions from the participants on the Q1 FY22 results. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congrats. My first question is on the deco paint. So last 5 quarters, you and market leader both have done quite well, better than initial expectations, faster recovery. Now, when I see work from home would have helped there because consumer was spending so much time at home, he had time to get his house painted. Plus, he needed a better environment. Second is a lot of reverse migration also happened. So consumer went from big cities to smaller cities. And again, same kind of demand you would have had in smaller cities, which was not the case earlier. So now when 50 crore vaccines are done, and next 3-4 months, most of the cities, middle class will be fully vaccinated. Do you see some risk of this kind of a demand driver not being there, especially base is high and the demand driver also goes away? Any comments there?
Thanks, Abneesh, for the question. We don't see any such reason to be anxious or concerned as yet. As you can imagine, I can't talk about Q2 but the medium term picture, but no reason to feel pessimistic at all. We feel that trends will only strengthen going forward.
And why would that happen? Any big reasons? Because a lot of the other consumption is having a volatile time, plus you have a high base.
Absolutely, Abneesh. I think you will recall my mentioning in earlier quarter earnings calls that we set some confidence in our newer products, our waterproofing initiative, the construction chemical effort that we are taking, the slew of new decorative products, including some luxury emulsions that we've introduced recently and which are growing. So I think this leads us to this conclusion. So it's more about our own strategies rather than how the overall market is developing.
So my second question is on the auto JV with Nippon. Auto companies are seeing a big issue of currently supply of the chips to the car companies. may not be the same in every kind of a price bracket, but clearly there is a worldwide global problem which could remain for a few months at least. So are your customers also giving this kind of a demand scenario, and is it impacting your auto demand also near term, medium term?
To some extent, but we are less exposed to the particular segment of the four-wheeler category. As you can imagine, we are more exposed to the two-wheelers, three-wheelers, and commercial vehicles, three-wheelers in our JV, and to some extent some passenger cars, of course, in the JV. But in the standalone company, we mainly look at commercial vehicles and two-wheelers. So to that extent, we are perhaps a little insulated from that effect.
Okay, that's all from my side. That's very helpful.
Thanks, Amish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avi Mehta from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Hi, Srijit Sethi. Just first on this recent, JV change that has happened from Nippon to Isaac Newton Corporation. Could you kind of give us a sense on what exactly is this? I am not sure what is Isaac Newton Corporation. Is it an auto company that we're talking about, which is it's a subsidiary of an auto company or something of that sort, which I'm not aware of? And does this entail any change in operations?
Yeah, I believe press releases have been given by the respective paint companies, meaning Nippon and Berger. So hopefully that will be a little clear. But just to, since you have asked this question, I won't spend too much time on it because this is something that happened today itself. Essentially, it is a bit of restructuring of the shareholding of the JV partner. So in essence, it remains Nippon Paints. The technology remains the same. The way the shareholding is structured is through this subsidiary called Isaac Newton. It doesn't change anything for us or for the customers. The company remains the same essentially. The DNA is the same. The technology is the same. Only the ownership in terms of structure is different. The beneficial ownership, again, remains the same.
Perfect. That's clear then. The second bit I wanted to kind of just understand on the decorative performance. Would you kind of, like last quarter, it felt that you were, you know, probably the fastest growing in industry. Is that the same case in this quarter as well in the decorative side?
Yes, we think so. Absolutely right. I mean, clearly we would have grown the fastest in decorative because you'll have to discount our results a little bit for 18% of our turnover, which is consists of industrial. Some of industrial, of course, has grown faster than decorative, but overall we'd say we would have been the fastest in industry. My takeaway is that the industry competitor, which has shown the fastest growth rate or the highest growth rate in this quarter, would have largely come because of industrial growth.
Okay, sir. Lastly, I wanted to kind of just understand the input cost inflation because you kind of spent some time explaining that. I just wanted to clarify one small part. In the industrial side, could you kind of give us a sense on what is the proportion of input costs that are still pending, in sense that, you know, 50% of the inflation has been passed on and probably another 50% or 40, you know, 60% is passed on? Just give us some sense on what's the journey that we're looking for.
Yeah, without giving you actual numbers, because that will impact the perception of future profits, which we tend to avoid. Yes, a substantial portion of the industrial business line price increases would have remained to be taken sitting on 30th June.
Okay, so they're still is yet to be taken as on 30th June, sir.
Okay.
Yes. But and we've got some more increases post that, right, sir? I'm not asking for the quantum, but
it's a continuous process. Yes, of course.
Okay, sir. Okay, I'll come back in the queue for any questions. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you give some idea about the volume-value gap for this quarter?
I'll just give you some indication. It would be around 4-4.5%, but not all of it is on account of price increase. As you can imagine, the price increase impact is lower, and there is a substantial impact of premiumization as well.
Okay, so basically value is 4.5% higher than the volume.
That's right. But not all of it on account of price increases is what we are saying.
Understood, understood. But my understanding was that the industry has taken about the almost 4% kind of price increases. Isn't that the case?
Not as much as that. If you are limiting yourself to the first quarter, some price increases have been taken in July, which will be the cumulative effect will be, of course, around close to 5%.
Yeah. So, second question, sir, on margins. So, if we look at the latter half of FY21, Q3, Q4, the kind of margins that many players in the industry reported, are those sort of exceptional margins in the sense that it was a combination of low input prices, a lot of cost savings on the back of COVID-related disruption, etc.? And should we take stable state margins maybe better than what we are doing right now, but not as high as we saw last year around? Would that be the correct thought process?
Probably right. I think we certainly expect margins to improve. I can't say very much more than that because the full effect of the raw material price increases have not yet panned out. So it's still a bit of a guesswork in terms of understanding what the impact will be going forward. But yes, there is, of course, every effort to improve margins from the current level, for sure.
Right, sir. And my last question is on distribution expansion. If you could, if not the absolute number you're not comfortable giving, can you at least give us the percentage growth in the number of distributors and the tinting machines versus 12 months ago?
Yes, I'll have to restrict my comments to the quarter. I can't, this is the 12-month numbers are not in the scope of this discussion. Obviously, the pandemic did have some effect, but looking at the numbers and our budgeted numbers, we do expect that the FY22 additions would be close to what we added in FY21, which is around 12-13%.
Sorry, I lost you there for a minute. You're saying 12-13% addition was in Q1 of FY22, is it?
No, the 12-13 was last year. We are on track to do the same kind of performance, maybe marginally better, in FY22. So Q1, I've stayed away from the numbers because it's a little misleading because it's still early days. We got affected by the pandemic. And but we are on track to do the same or better numbers compared to FY21.
Okay, great. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Alok from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. My first question was again on the dealer addition. So while you mentioned the percentage dealer increase that we might see, just wanted to check any specific markets, geographies that we are seeing this, and if you can break it up between tier 1 and 2 or tier 3 and beyond, what where we would be adding a little higher dealers. That is number one.
You're right. We don't give specific sector or geography-wise breakups. But you're right, yes, the attempt to increase our Tier 2 or Tier 3 network would yield much better results than the metro cities. That's happened in the past and will continue.
Okay. And my second question is on the cost line items. So while in the previous year we have seen a lot of cost reset for most of the companies, wanted to check any specific guidance or, you know, color that you can give in your cost items how sustainable the savings have been, and you know, what is the roadmap going ahead? If you can share some thoughts around it. Thank you.
I think I'll restrict my comments to what I've already said in the opening comments, meaning that yes, the efforts to improve the gross margins in the form of raw material costs, vendor development, formulation efficiencies, that will continue unabated. And we have already seen some results of that in the first quarter. Not all of it has translated itself into the cost of goods sold, but we should see some impact of that going forward. So that's there. And in terms of the other expenses, and I think I mentioned in the last earnings call that we took a conscious decision to restore our advertising costs back to normal very soon after the first quarter. And we have planned for substantial advertising spends this year as well. So that is something that we'll have to take into account. But the effect of the pandemic in terms of the other cost reductions like traveling, some of the fixed costs in our factories, some of the manpower costs and logistics costs, we will, of course, continue our efforts to keep them at the pandemic levels or the last year levels. That's something. By levels, I mean, of course, as a percentage to sales.
Sure. Got it. And if I can just squeeze in one more. Wanted to check, you know, competition has been sort of aggressively pushing products across waterproofing and construction chemicals. Wanted to check, would you be, you know, confident in saying that you have the whole range already in place and now it's just about placement and marketing, or you are still en route developing those products also?
No, I think that's a fair question. This is probably one of our faster growing segments, and I'm talking about waterproofing as a segment or a sub-segment within the overall construction chemicals. So yes, I think we have all our products in place. You will recall that we had acquired the 95% subsidiary, which is STP, and we are now in a position to source some of the gaps that we had in our portfolio from them, things that we purchased from other people as trading purchases. But now it's all within the overall Berger group, and therefore most of the products have been plugged or the gaps have been filled. So good potential for our waterproofing products as well as the admixture category in our overall construction chemical portfolio.
Got it. And this 150% growth in STP for FY21, of course, that will not sustain. That's also because you increased the stake.
Yes, but that has to be taken in the context, yes.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, that's the clarification I wanted. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pratesi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, Srijit and Suyodhi. Good evening.
Hi, Shirish.
Wonderful performance.
Thank you.
I have two questions. The first question is on decorative. I think what we have found, I think people are talking about big numbers from the exterior paint also. I'm not asking a specific number for this quarter, but if you can split, what is the split between the interior and exterior for the decorative business? And what was this number of 2 years before?
Shirish, I can't help you with specific percentages, but to give you some color as to what we did in emulsions, sure. Exteriors did better, and our newer products, including our marquee flagship brands like Weathercoat Long Life and Weathercoat Anti-Dust, did very well. Suffice to say from my side that they outperformed the average by quite a fair margin.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, because if you look at the digital medium or even the wide range of television medium, we are seeing suddenly there are a lot of thrust on the exterior paint. Is that category is broadly unorganized and that's why the organized player are attacking that? Is that the trend or genuinely there is a demand cycle which is happening? So what I wanted to understand, sir, is that what is fundamentally driving this growth?
A little bit, I think one of your colleagues mentioned earlier, people are spending a little more time at home, so more attention to jobs like painting. But specifically for exteriors, I think it has less potential for safety-related issues in a painting environment in the home. So people are more comfortable getting their exterior painting done in these difficult times. So that may be one of the answers. The other fact is, of course, interior emulsions have also done well. So probably the answer to that is the fact that people are spending time at home and getting things done. And also the fact that the major players have really spent some time and thought on making the process safe. So a number of initiatives taken to make it safer for consumers.
Okay. Okay. My second and last question on quarter one, what is the, it's very difficult, but if you can give me some qualitative remarks, what is the weighted inflation we have seen in domestic decorative business?
You're talking about the inflation in cost?
Yeah, inflation in cost.
Okay, so I can only give you a little color to that. I mean, you would have seen the crude oil prices.
Yeah.
In other years, typically the crude oil prices largely affected the solvent-based products.
Yeah.
But this year, because of the global capacity situation in monomer production, which is also, of course, dependent eventually on crude oil prices, but largely, again, more quick to reflect global shortages in capacity with other economies picking up and demand picking up. So typically this year we've seen a cost inflation across all the segments, including water-based in deco. So as I mentioned that we've only taken about 5% cumulative price increases in decorative, we need to go much beyond that.
So will you, of course, quarter one is not the indicative number and now we are entering to the rain season. But say, suppose second half is things normalize, would equal amount of price increases the trade can digest?
I think the challenge really is the timing and the understanding of the raw material trends, price trends. So people, I think, are just waiting a little bit to see how things level out. That's the issue here. And, instead of taking a one-time price increase, which can be a little disruptive typically, a more gradual approach, I think, is what all the companies are looking at.
Sure. Thank you, sir, and all the best to you and the team.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Singh from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So two questions. One on revenue growth. Sir, as you mentioned that in decorative coatings, we have outperformed the competition. So what are the, broad reasons kind of that you will ascribe for our this outperformance, sir? If you can give some comment on that.
I think we'll have to look at our newer products, the health of our newer brands. The fact that we have done well in our construction chemicals business, as well as the project businesses that we did in Q1. It was, as I mentioned earlier in earlier comments, it was much lower than Q4 of FY22, but still enough to be reasonably significant.
Sir, apart from the new product, new brands, and the new categories that we have entered in the existing categories, where we already have strength, anything to call out over there, sir, in the decorative coating business regarding our outperformance?
I don't think any special comments are necessary. I think overall the business line has done well.
Okay, I mean anything on distribution or nothing you'd like, I mean...
I made some comments, I think, on network expansion, so I won't repeat myself.
Sure, sir. Thank you. And sir, second and last question is, on gross margin, I think even on gross margin, we outperformed. So relative contraction in the gross margin year on year of Berger compared to other companies is significantly lower, sir. So, I mean, what would be the reason for, you know, our outperformance even on gross margin contraction front?
I think one has to look at it in terms of both the trailing quarter and the quarter last fiscal. I think it's probably in these difficult times, it's probably more relevant to look at the trailing quarter. You'll find that we are pretty much mirroring other deco companies. The company which has a substantial industrial presence, of course, the numbers are slightly different. I won't go into any comments on competition, obviously, in this conference. But I think largely the RMC trends mirror competition, give or take maybe a percentage point here or there. But you're right, compared to last year, the margin contraction has been less, mainly because we've had some mix change and we did mention, I think, in that quarter that we pretty much sold what we could in Q1 of FY21. The mix has improved in Q1 of FY22, as well as the fact that, as I mentioned, there was some supply-apply projects in Q1 FY22, which tends to depress the RMC number a little bit, gross margins as you call it.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Thank you very, very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shubhit. Hi, Shubhit. Thanks for the opportunity. Shubhit, my first question pertains to the commentary that we are gathering from all the real estate players that almost after a break of 7-8 years, they are seeing real buoyancy in primary demand. So just wanted to check whether we are also seeing that kind of buoyancy, and then this is not project-led businesses alone, but even the secondary demand which comes from first-time buyers of the home. So are we seeing any such buoyancy in our numbers or our channel checks as well?
I'll have to limit my remarks to Q1, unfortunately, so I can't talk about current trends, meaning this month or the preceding one. But in Q1, yes, we did see a little indicator or indication of that happening. So we are optimistic that this could be a year which shows some kind of turnaround for the real estate industry.
And what is the margin profile of this business? Is it more accretive, margin accretive versus a normal repainting business, or is it as accretive or as profitable as the other business?
Marginally lower because the brand is obviously not so important, and typically these products are what promoters and builders would use, and they don't necessarily choose the best. So yes, the margins are a little lower than the average deco business. But only a little.
Sure. That's helpful. The second question pertains to the relative outperformance in deco paints that you spoke about. Just to understand, should we, if we look at this from the lens of regional events which played out this quarter, Southern India was under tremendous pressure relative to, and Southern India and Maharashtra in particular.
Your voice is breaking up, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I couldn't catch the last bit of your sentence.
Yes, you can hear me now.
Yeah, better.
Yeah. Now, so I was saying that if we look at this outperformance on the lens of regional events which played out during the second wave, where Southern India and West India were relatively much more impacted, could it be the case that the markets where we are strong were relatively much more open for business versus the rest of India, and hence this quarter's outperformance should be looked at from that lens? I'm just giving a thought there.
If you look at the pan-India situation, it was a bit of an up-and-down situation, you know. For sure, the East and Northeast, maybe the second wave impacted these states a little later. So that came through perhaps in the end of or middle of May and a little bit of June, whereas some of the other states that you mentioned probably recovered a little bit from the second wave and opened up a little earlier. So by and large, it sort of evened out. It is absolutely true that no matter whether you look at it state-wise or region-wise, this quarter was impacted by lockdowns for sure. So if that helps, that's the kind of comment perhaps that's relevant.
That's very insightful. Thanks. Thanks, Sridhar, and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Two questions. You have indicated about the performance of waterproofing business, but can you also indicate about the performance of putty business in Q1? And second question, more of a strategic in nature. So the market leader is not limiting itself in just paints, and it is entering multiple segments, and not just ancillary segment. It has beautiful homes, etc. So there are many other segments. So Berger, a strong number two player, we have not yet seen much such investment, except maybe waterproofing or putty. So any means any idea about how do we are going ahead in these segments, or we want to remain at your play on paint business?
No, regarding your comments, reference to putties, last year was an unusual quarter because, everybody, I think, sold as much putty as they could, ourselves included. This year, that correction back to what we call normal levels has happened. So if you compare it with Q1 of FY21, our mix would be much richer in this quarter because we sold less putty. So that's one comment. But in terms of the overall position, of course, we would like to concentrate on our construction chemical business, the admixture business, the value-added premium luxury emulsions. Unfortunately, or for whatever reason, we have not made a foray into other home improvement sectors or segments, and have no immediate plans of such. But we would like to consolidate our position in the categories that I mentioned. So premiumization, construction chemicals, and waterproofing.
Okay. Understood, sir. I mean, just to clarify, whether putty revenues would have declined on a YOY basis, is that a fair assumption?
Compared to Q1 of last year?
Yes. Last year, June quarter?
I'm saying the mix would have declined in the overall basket.
Okay. Sure, sir. Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone telephone. The next question is from the line of Avi Mehta from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sridhar, Jyoti. Just two more questions.
Sure.
First, any update on the CapEx plan? What is kind of happening on that?
Yeah, our plant in UP, the construction program is on track. Our schedules are being met, and we are going ahead as planned. So no revision there, if you were referring to our greenfield project in UP.
Yeah. So, I mean, we would kind of continue to kind of do that 100 crores plus kind of.
Yes.
Okay. The second bit was essentially on the subsidiaries. I mean, in particular, if I may say, Bolix and the wood coating subsidiaries. What I mean is the entire year last year as well,
And even in this quarter, you're pointing towards healthy profitability. If I'm correct, Bolix has almost reached double digit, high double digit, profitability or EBITDA margin. Is that something that is a more sustainable trajectory and because of, you know, the changes in the business that we have seen? Is that a fair way to look at this business now as we go forward? And similarly,
I understand your question, Avi. Couple of things. I think we should, it's not the wood coating subsidiary which is the most profitable. I mentioned BGN Nepal, which is our Nepal subsidiary, which really did very well in this quarter compared to Q1. And the other two subsidiaries are Sabu Coatings and STP. STP is the construction chemicals company that we acquired. And Sabu Coatings is the special specialized coatings or typically industrial coatings of a specialized nature. It's not related to auto or other such, but mainly general industrial. Those are the companies or the units that did very well. But talking about Bolix, I think you may recall that in my last earnings call, I did say that we have made a significant foray into the UK market and France, which is good news for the ethics business that we have in Poland. These are through subsidiaries of our Polish entity. And lockdown and COVID-related disruptions apart, I think UK is coming to a situation where most of the inhabitants are now double vaccinated and the economy will open up, cautiously, of course. And that means that we have our order book is pretty full currently. And once the lockdown restrictions are lifted, as far as construction sites are concerned completely, we hope to see a much better performance from Bolix going forward. Not that they're doing badly, they're doing quite well, but it should take another trajectory or gradient going forward.
And from a medium-term point of view, I think we've now reached the profitability that we had earlier envisaged, I'm assuming, or is there more juice in here that I'm probably missing out? Because we are almost at what,
6 years? Are you referring to the Polish entity?
Yes,
absolutely right, Avi. I think point well made. It's all about scale, I think. So we've made the investment in people, we made the investment in infrastructure earlier, and this is now, I think, we are poised to get the dividends.
Perfect. I just to clarify, sir, when I was talking about the wood coatings, I didn't mean it from a profitability lens. I was trying to understand, what is the kind of profitability that we can see over a medium term? I'm not asking for a, near-term guidance, but is this like a single-digit, double-digit kind of margin business, or is this still an investment phase business, still need time?
It's still a small part of our overall business. We do most of the wood coatings from our standalone company itself. The JV is a smaller entity. So yes, the wood coatings margin needs to improve. Well, let's put it this way.
Perfect, sir. Now, I got the. I'm very clear on this. Thank you very much, sir. This is very helpful.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Desai from NK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Sujit and Sujyoti. Just one question. Could you comment on the discounting part? We've seen an increase in discounting or competitive trade spends increase over the last 1 to 2 years. Given that cost inflation has increased now and our price increases are also slower, do you think there will be a moderation in this discounting that we've seen over the last few quarters?
We sincerely hope so, but that's something that will depend on how competition behaves. Obviously, we don't want to give up any business, and sometimes it becomes a fairly intense battle as far as discounting is concerned. But it affects some segments, mainly the economy end of the market. So, yes, and maybe in some enamels.
Okay, so in those segments, you're saying it has moderated?
No, it's difficult to predict because that's where the battle is intense.
Okay.
So going forward, we don't know. I mean, it will depend on how competition behaves and how we obviously have to react. But we do hope overall that it should moderate. It was more COVID-led, but again, with the newer players coming in, we have to be careful.
Okay, got it. Thanks and all the best. That's it.
Thanks, Ashish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, one question on the advertising spend. So we have seen last 5 years for the industry ads as a percentage of sales, it went up. But FY21, it has gone down. Of course, pandemic quarter Q1 was hugely lower. But my question is now, based on your current understanding, in the near term, medium term, is the percentage of sales for the industry not as a guidance for your company? Do you see that slightly trending downwards because gross margin pressure is there? Last 4-5 years, anyway, it has gone up. And everyone is seeing good growth in the deco anyway. So is it logical to expect that?
Maybe not. I don't think so, Amnish, because, it translates very quickly into the higher sales for the projects, for the products which are advertised. So I think by and large people would persist with higher advertising or at least media spends, if not the overall A&P spends.
You think media spends will come back as in for the full year?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, that's helpful. Second question, last question essentially. On the real estate recovery, you are present in most parts of the country and we are seeing definitely good signs emerging. But from the on-ground, what are you getting sense? Is this a multi-year revival in terms of real estate launches, project launches, etc.? So any sense you can share with us? These can be your thoughts. These are, again, absolutely no guidance.
No. I can only respond, Amit, by saying we sincerely hope so. We do see some of these signs, but I don't think we can really say anything which may be of any use to the participants, except to say we certainly hope so. I think let's look forward to that.
You are not expanding your team? If your statement seems fairly benign, you are not expanding your project team?
No. I think that is, we actually invest in manpower fairly early on in the year in terms of our budgeted strengths. So those are continuing. Last year was a bit of an unusual year. This year we should see restoration of the normal activity. So yes, it will continue, the investment in manpower.
Okay, that's all from my side. That was helpful. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. First of all, I would like to thank all participants for your insightful questions and participation. We wish, to see a better business environment going forward with the normalization of the pandemic as well as more vaccinations. Wish all of you to stay safe. And look forward to seeing you in the next quarter as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.